So this morning, I want to talk to you about joy. But before I can talk to you about joy, I want to talk to you about happiness. And happiness is 1991. Are you ready? Because here we go. Put on your sexy voice, because in 1991, we sang to Michael Bolton's "When a Man Loves a Woman." And in 1991, we nodded our heads to "Mama Said Knock You Out" with LL Cool J. Don't act like you didn't. And then we got all grungy and angsty with Nirvana, right? And that "Smells Like Teen Spirit." And then we put on our baggy pants with MC Hammer, and we learned some hand motions. Too legit, too quick. Don't act like you don't. You're liking this. Look at that suit. Oh, Hammer, bring it. And then one of my personal favorites, Pearl Jam's 10 album came out, right? And we were inspired and sang at the top of our lungs, "Alive." Do you remember these days? And then we found out what the meaning of the lyrics were, and we were like, oh. And in 1991, we were reminded by Terminator 2, before Arnold Schwarzenegger was the governor, right? And then we were introduced to Cuba Gooding Jr. and rayon t-shirts in Boys in the Hood. And personal favorite, Full House was a top show in 1991. My favorite show, The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, happened in 1991. Oh, you like that? Awesome. And then, of course, McDonald's introduced to the world the McLean Deluxe Sandwich, and nobody bought it. And in 1991, if you happen to miss it, all this awesomeness, I'm very sorry. But now you can live vicariously through your parents and others in the room. In 1991, the most important thing happened. The Air Jordan 6 came out. And this is the whole point of my story. I love the Air Jordan 6. I loved the tongue of the shoe and how you could pull it up because it was like made special with this plastic rubber. I loved the way it felt on my foot, like I could almost be Air Jordan, right? And so all I wanted for Christmas was the Air Jordan 6. I pulled every trick in the book as an 11-year-old to try to get my Air Jordan 6. I took my mom to the mall. I put them on my shoes and I was like, "Mom, these were made for me." And she wasn't really having it. But everything, I made very clear that all I wanted for Christmas was the Air Jordan 6. And so on Christmas Day, I'm a shaker. And I like to shake every present underneath the tree to figure out what it is. And I shook that present, and I was happy to see that it looked like a box of shoes. And I unwrapped it carefully, and it was a Nike Foot Locker box. And I was so happy. And then as I opened it up, my mom decided to purchase me the Air Trainer 1s. And I had that sense of like, this is terrible, Mom. You have ruined my Christmas, right? And of course, my mom's rationale, "I just don't think you'll need basketball shoes. You'll get better use out of the cross trainer." Was my mom right? Absolutely so. However, as an 11-year-old, I was so mad and angry at her. And I remember that feeling of like, how dare you, Mom, right? You didn't get the one thing that I wanted in the world. And I don't know if you've ever felt that, the sort of like the Christmas drop, like that sense that you didn't get what you wanted. And even in our culture, there's a sense, even now as an adult, I'm like an adult. I'm all grown up and I still have that, "Well, I didn't really get what I want, so I'll go buy it," right? Do any of you experience that? And there's like this deep lull because we've bought into this view of happiness that is something like this, that happiness is getting what you want. Happiness is, in another way, is finding what you want. And there's nothing inherently wrong. We all need stuff, and we need shoes, especially Air Jordan 6s, right? And but there's this mentality that our lives are determined by the stuff that we, getting the stuff that we want. And what's interesting about this mentality is whatever it is, food or jobs or music or movies or cars or relationships, if we find it, if we get it, then we're happy. But there's a huge problem with this mentality, right? Because if you don't, you're not happy, you're bankrupt. And if you've ever noticed something that I've noticed, that being human, there's a sense that people are never happy no matter what wealth level they have. No matter how much fame they have, no matter how much power and influence, no matter how much comfort. It's a strange thing being human, right? That our happiness is getting what we want, but the more wealth we get, the more we want. The more fame we get, the more we want, and it's this never-ending need for more and more and more. Even the most wealthiest people I know always tell me they want more wealth and fame, And it's like the hamster on the wheel, over and over again, getting what we want in this cycle that we live in. And then it's incredible to me that the words of Romans, we've been talking about Romans and that incredible letter in early Christianity and how it set the future of Christian theology. And in the letter of Romans, it comes to the very end and it says these words, "For the kingdom of God is not food and drink, sorry, Tim Coons, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." And so this verse automatically takes us to this deeper level. And it's as if the Christian tradition and the Bible invites us to think deeper than just the stuff we get to make us happy. It invites us to take that journey into the depths of what joy could mean. So it's not food and drink and all the stuff we can get, but what is that joy that we're given? So when I think about happiness and when I think about joy, I can't help but think about The Voyage of the Dawn Treader by C.S. Lewis and that incredible character, Eustace. The book starts out with probably the best sentence in all of literature. "There was a boy called Eustace Clarence Scrub, and he almost deserved it." So great. And then this wonderful book in the Narnia series goes on to tell us about Eustace. And of course, Eustace's his cousins come to town, his cousins Lucy and Edmund. And of course, Lucy and Edmund, all they want to talk about is Narnia, this incredible land of adventure. But Edmund is the type of kid who, he wants to be the boss, and he wants to bully kids around, and he wants to complain about anything. He's the type of kid that would rather read an encyclopedia than a story. And so you can imagine Edmund and Lucy telling him these stories of Narnia, telling him possibilities of a new world filled with all kinds of fascinating things. And there's Eustace sitting there, shrugging his shoulders at his terrible cousins. And so as the story is told, they're sitting in the living room, and there's a painting on the wall of a ship in a great sea. Edmund and Lucy are looking at this, and they're saying, "Remember Narnia, remember all the incredible things in Narnia." And Eustace is just frumpy right in the living room. And all of a sudden, use your imagination, the living room fills with water. And all of a sudden, they are on the raging seas with Prince Caspian and the Dawn Treader. And of course, Eustace is already complaining, telling him that all his clothes are soaked and why is he on the seas on the Dawn Treader. And then all of a sudden, we're introduced to a character named Rip-a-Cheep, right? Which Rip-a-Cheep is this ferocious sailor mouse. And so Rip-a-Cheep, he's a man of valor and a little man of valor and honor. And Eustace comes up to him, and Eustace grabs him by the tail and swings him around. So Rip-a-Cheep takes his wannabe sword and keeps poking Eustace, right? And so all the time, Eustace is the type of guy you would never want to get on a sailing ship with, right? He's not a good crewmate. He's the type of guy who takes the air out of the room instead of giving air to people. So then the Dawn Treader, they experience some trouble at sea. There's a storm, and the ship is battered, and they have to literally go along shore. And Prince Caspian tells the whole crew, "Hey, this is what it means to be a crew. We gather together and we help one another out and we fix this, but we're going to have to camp for several days to fix the ship." Well, of course, Eustace decides he's not so much into helping out the team, and he takes a little hike, and as he gets farther and farther away, he's lost. So he's wandering in the wilderness with no one to help him. And of course, Eustace finally shows some human side and breaks down and cries. And Eustace finds his way into a dragon's lair. It's C.S. Lewis, right? And in this dragon's lair, he finds gold and treasures. And he falls asleep because he's exhausted. Well, the next morning, Eustace turns into a dragon. And so it's imaginative. He's this dragon, but he's no longer Eustace. So he finds his way to where all his cousins are and where the crew is. And he's over them. And of course, they're scared to death. It's a huge dragon. And then Lucy notices that the dragon is crying. Eustace the dragon is crying these tears. And so it's this turning point in the narrative from Eustace being a boy who got what he wanted. And if he didn't get what he wanted, he was going to pout and cry, to all of a sudden Eustace thinking, maybe life is something deeper. Maybe life is something more. And so the dragon begins to help the crew. They begin to lean on him. They begin to use him for his powers of fire, to start the fires for the crew. And 7 days go by, and Eustace is still a dragon. And everyone is concerned about, what are we going to do when we have to set sail because a dragon can't come on the ship? Well, then all of a sudden, Edmund finds Eustace out in the wilderness, rightly clothed and back to being the young boy again. And Eustace tells him this tale. He said, "Yesterday, I saw the great lion, the Aslan," which we all know in this book is like, dun, 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 dun. This is the Christ figure of the whole incredible novel. And the Christ figure, the lion, looks into the eyes of this dragon, Eustace, and says simply, "Follow me." And so the lion leads Eustace up high up in the mountains to where there is this fountain of water and invites him to get into the water. And as he gets into the water, all the dragon skin begins to be shed. And then the great lion Aslan puts clothes on Eustace. And so it's this beautiful imagery of Eustace not even understanding that his life is about to be transformed in a huge way. And all Eustace does is listen and receive and take in all this goodness that Aslan the lion is showering upon him. So Eustace comes back to the crew, and he is no longer Eustace of old, but he's restored. And these words are said, "Great was the rejoicing when Edmund had and the restored Eustace walked into the breakfast circle round the campfire." And you just want to celebrate, right? Because Eustace is this life that's transformed from a life of just getting what you want to a life of deep joy, a life of recognizing that joy is about being found in the depths of your need. So whereas happiness is getting what you want, joy is being found, is all the inadequacies and insecurities of human life being found by this great God of love. And so I thought about this story this week, and I thought, we're all a little like Eustace, right? Every single one of us, we all have these insecurities inside. We all have these inadequacies. And maybe we've been to that place where we felt that hunger for meaning and purpose and belonging to be accepted by one another. And maybe we felt what psychologists say are deep needs to be loved and to be safe. And we know well with the news that some of us just want freedom from all the loaded history of race and class and gender. We all inside of our hearts carry a Eustace heart. We carry that sense of depth that we need these great things. And joy. Joy in the Christian tradition is being found in the depth of your need. Is a God who looks into your eyes and says, "You are loved. You are accepted. Do not fear. There is no longer Jew or Greek or male or slave, but all are one in Christ Jesus." Joy is being found in the depths. And this is what Advent is all about. This is what Christ coming to the world in a manger is all about. The incarnation, God coming to say, "I know what you are going through. I have found you in the depth of your human need. This is the place where joy, deep joy for your human life is found, in a manger, in a simple human scene." That's why the wise men, as they were making their way to find the Christ child, saw the star in the sky, and they were overwhelmed with joy. Because these wise men who had came from the far eastern countries had been found by the great joy. They had been met in the depths of their human needs. And so happiness is Taylor Swift's song, "Shake It Off." It's fun, it's poppy, it's great. It's not evil, it's really fun. But joy is Sigur Rós, the Icelandic band. And feeling those deep movements and being moved at a deeper level, being found in ways you never thought possible. So happiness is finding a good parking spot at the beach, but joy is taking off your shoes and feeling the sand beneath your toes and walking further and further and then being knocked down because the wave was so strong, but finding yourself so at one with the ocean and nature and God. Happiness is getting a master's degree in religion. You know a lot about Buddhism and Hinduism and Christianity and how this whole world fits together. But joy is the man or the woman who's found freedom from their bondage to addiction at AA or an NA meeting. Happiness is getting the Air Jordan 6s if anyone would like to get me a cool Christmas present. They're only like $3,000 on eBay when I checked last night. But joy is recognizing that your single mom gave all that she could to get you a pair of shoes that were more useful for the long run. There is a big difference between happiness, getting what you want, and joy being found in the depth. And so to embody means to put a body on. And in the last chapters of the Gospel of John, chapters 13 through 17, they call it the farewell discourse. Everything slows down in the Gospel of John. It's unlike any of the other Gospels. And you're invited into the upper room. And Jesus speaks. He speaks simply and he speaks slowly. And essentially the whole five chapters are Jesus exploring what the reality of the incarnation means for us. The depth of joy that is offered in God to each one of us. The promises that we are found by this God. And in chapter 16, Jesus tells the disciples this. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive so that your joy may be complete. And we're not talking about Air Jordan 6s here. We're talking about those deep things. Acceptance and love and worth and dignity and compassion. And then the very next chapter, Jesus leans in once again and speaks some of the most beautiful words that the gospel has said. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. The promise of the Christian tradition, the promise of the good news is that you will be found in the depths of your need, that God will meet every one of your needs, that there is a God in this mysterious realm of human life that can meet every one of your needs. That even if the Christmas lights are turned on and there's craziness and busyness and fun everywhere, in the silence, in the stillness, you meet the God who can meet every one of your needs. And so all we have to do to receive this great joy that God offers is to receive and to learn to listen and to learn to behold like the wise men and like the angels, this miracle that has come down at Christmas. So I want to conclude today with three simple challenges to you. This week, would you spend 5 minutes of silence every day before you even start your day, just listening to the silence? And would you imagine that you are in that upper room and repeat over and over again the promise of Jesus' words in John 17, 13, your joy will be made complete in God. And every night, would you think through the day's gifts and let thanksgiving and joy well up within you? Begin to look at what gifts from friends or gifts from family, and push beyond them to see the gift behind the gift. So this Christmas, my prayer is that you would embody the deep joy that God offers. Amen.